Step into a world of adventure and join our players in the continuation of Waterdeep Dragon Heist in a brand new homebrew adventure called Eye of the Thrallspire. We are thrilled to have you, but we'd be even more thrilled if you became a patron of our podcast on Patreon. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this is Quest.
Hey guys, it's Tay here. Last time we had an issue with the drow. Man, that drow, he came out of nowhere. I tried yelling for the guys and L went down and then it went black. Like blacker than black. That shit was scary dark. Afterwards, we lost the drow. All the hard work I put in didn't get anywhere. But you know what? We still got paid by Davil. And now we gotta get some handkerchief from some rich guy? What the hell are these guys getting me into? Well, let's see what happens.
The city is buzzing with excitement as the anticipation for the Sea Maidens Fair parade fills the air. The streets are alive with the hum of eager voices as people hurry to secure their spots along the parade route. The city watch has already cordoned off the route and now watch the crowd carefully from their posts. Families and friends gather, their faces alight with anticipation, children perched on shoulders or darting between legs to catch a better view. Brightly colored banners and streamers decorate the buildings, fluttering in the breeze and adding to the festive atmosphere. Merchants and street vendors have set up their stalls, their goods ranging from sweet treats to handcrafted trinkets, enticing passersby with their displays. As the crowd continues to swell around them, the market square becomes a bustling focal point. Here, Magic Dan, Cam, Talon and Elle jostle for prime positions among the gathering throng, which includes many of Waterdeep's important nobility and dignitaries, draped in fine cloaks and shining jewels, eager to be seen or to oversee the festivities. Though the parade has yet to sweep through this part of the market, the energy in Waterdeep is palpable, charged with the anticipation for the spectacle soon to unfold. Behind you, you can see the Great Drunkard walking statue as hundreds of people are flocking to this central point in the city, where you all know where the Sea Maidens Fair makes a big circle twice around the market square before continuing forward throughout the city. That is where we find our characters.
So you guys are all familiar with the plan, right?
What plan?
Tay, we distract the men. I distract the men. Maybe even Dan. You're pretty good at...
I can really hold conversation with people. It's one of my better talents.
That's not what I was talking about. Maybe blow something up or...
Ooh, that's way cooler.
You talking to people, I'm trying to avoid as much as possible.
Knowing you, you'd probably tell them our plan and then we would fail.
I wouldn't tell them nothing. I know one thing is you don't squeal. All right, everyone put your hands in. No?
No, so we'll walk our way over to the Great Drunkard.
Okay, you make your way over there, no problem. There's hundreds of people.
Okay.
Do we see the gentleman that we're looking for?
Very good question. Why don't you make a perception check?
8 from Cam.
13.
And 11.
L. Beneath the towering statue of the Great Drunkard, the crowd surges with excitement and anticipation. You scan the crowd, and you spot your target. A stout human man in his mid-40s. A dark horseshoe mustache and sideburns frame his rosy face. His balding head is crowned by a black top hat, and he wears a blue overcoat that barely contains his robust frame. And you can see a purple handkerchief peeks from his right coat pocket. He has a jovial demeanor and a rosy grin, and he seems to be pretty popular among the parade goers. He jests with those around him. He occasionally will lean down and speak warmly to a child that passes by, ruffling his hair. Talon, you will see, standing on the steps of the tavern, the Great Drunkard, that lies between the legs of the Great Drunkard statue, there is two city watchmen. They are not too far away from where L has seen the target. There are also, across the market and throughout the market, actually, many city watch members stationed to monitor the parade.
We got eyes there, 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 and there.
All right, well, this is a bit more crowded than I expected, but I think we can make do.
We can make this happen.
Ooh, we could use our gray hand-like emblems to seem like we're part of the Force.
I don't think we want to broadcast that we're with Force Gray while we're about to commit a crime.
I think I have a better idea to distract the guards than what we had initially planned on.
Ooh, is it my idea?
No, it's definitely not your idea, and you're not going to like it.
Ow.
L, when you hear the commotion, you should go for it.
Okay.
And I'll say, Dan, can you come with me?
Sure.
We'll make our way, like, over kind of near the guards. I am going to look to Dan, and I'm going to say, you absolute bastard, and punch Dan directly in the face.
Make a performance check.
Both of us?
No, actually, because Dan, you actually get punched in the face.
That's a 16.
Okay. You make it pretty realistic as that you are pissed off and punch Dan in the face.
Oh, God, what the hell, man? Why?
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
This is all very shocking to me. I'll punch your ass, too. And I throw a punch.
Are you going to actually punch him?
I think Dan would actually, yeah.
Okay, so actually that would be an attack roll.
A 10.
Does that hit your armor class?
It does not.
Hit you? Whiff.
I'm not good at punching. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, you're not good at anything else either, Dan.
While this is occurring, what would L and Talon be doing?
Okay, so what I would like to do is get within 30 feet of the target, and then I'm going to use my mage hand ledger domain and have an invisible hand reach into his pocket and yank out the handkerchief.
Okay. Before you make a roll, Talon, what are you doing?
Keeping an eye on the guards and seeing where they're looking. But as I see what happened, I'm going to cast Thaumaturgy for a little bump underneath Dan's foot to trip him up.
Okay. Dan, make a dexterity saving throw.
Man, you guys are giving me the business. Ooh, a 2.
Yeah, you fall over.
Don't!
Talon, you will see, as well as Magic Dan and Cam, a city watch member.
All right, what is all this? Break it up.
I ain't talking to the fuzz. Go to hell.
Yeah, that's always your problem, Dan, is you never want to talk about anything. It's always to action with you. And I'm going to, like, make it seem like I'm trying to, like, basically stage fighting him again.
Now's your chance, L.
The city watchman will rush towards you to start breaking it up. As L, you need to make your sleight of hand check, please.
That's a 9.
You start to fiddle with your invisible mage hand in this guy's pocket. And Magic Dan and Cam start to play fight as the city watch member's trying to break him up. When all of you hear the trumpet of the Sea Maidens Fair Parade beginning to enter through the market square. And it comes into view for all of you. So it distracted L enough for you to miss. Okay?
Okay. I think when he realizes that the hand didn't do it, he's going to try to make it look like he's getting like a better viewing spot, and he's going to bump into the guy and try again, but actually with his own hands this time.
Make a sleight of hand check.
Don't fuck me. 13.
Okay. You bump into this man, and he's sort of startled by this.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to bump into you, sir.
Oh, my apologies. That was all my fault. I'm so clumsy.
No problem.
You do manage to grab the edge of the handkerchief and pull it from his pocket.
All right, and then I'm going to, like, jam it into a pocket or inside Absolutely. My pants or something.
As the Sea Maidens Fair Parade comes into view, the streets of Waterdeep come alive with a dazzling display of sights and sounds. The March of the City Watch leads the procession, marching 8 abreast and 15 ranks deep in their green and gold uniforms. Their synchronized step create a rhythmic beat that resonates through the cobblestone streets. That is the first section of the parade. Magic Dan and Cam, what are you guys doing? The city watchman is likely going to arrest you if you keep doing this.
Is that, like, a vibe I'm getting off? Or, like, what? Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to look to Dan. I'm going to say, Dan, why are we fighting?
I don't know. I'm genuinely confused.
Me too, Dan. I think you want to go get a drink? Kind of bury the hatchet a little bit?
Yeah, I guess so. God, you're really lucky I didn't have Mouse Lee clow you right in the nuts.
All right, we got this resolved or what?
Yeah, I think, sir, I think we got this resolved. I'm terribly sorry. Just a lover's tryst, right, Dan?
Yeah, that's what it was, guard. Don't ask us any more questions. We're going.
The parade bursts into life with a cacophony of music and laughter. Fire breathers dance through the streets, sending towering plumes of flame into the air, the heat shimmering in waves above their heads. Their carefully choreographed movements are mesmerizing, and the crowd oohing and awing with every burst of fire.
So nice.
So nice.
Blade jugglers follow close behind, their hands a blur as they expertly toss and catch gleaming daggers. The crowd gasps as a particularly daring juggler sends a blade spinning high into the air and catching it effortlessly just inches from his face. L, what are you doing?
So now that I have the handkerchief in my pocket, I'm going to try to like stealth my way through the crowd and then get out of there and find the alleyway with the little child that I'm supposed to.
Okay, so that's all the way in the dock ward. So you're just going to straight dip out on the party?
I didn't realize that. No, I think I'll reconvene with them, but I am going to try to like weave through the crowd so no one sees me.
El, did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Stilt walkers tower above the crowd as they move gracefully along the cobblestones, waving down to children who gaze up at them with wide eyes. Acrobats tumble and leap with breathtaking agility, performing extraordinary feats of strength and flexibility. A pair of performers flip through the air in perfect sync, their hands briefly touching before they twist apart, landing smoothly in the midst of the parade. A troop of clowns passes by, their oversized shoes clomping against the ground, laughter booming from their painted faces. But beneath the exaggerated makeup and oversized clothing, there's a hint of something more. Broad shoulders that seem too muscular for mere performers, and hands that grip their props with a strength that feels out of place. A large float, depicting a mighty kraken attacking a ship, rolls past, its canvas-covered tentacles thrashing in mock fury. The float seems to creak under some sort of strain, as if the wooden beams are bearing more weight than they should. The party reconvenes in the crowd.
Did we do it?
Yeah, it's done. I told you I'd get it done.
Hell yeah.
I never doubted you for a second, though.
All right, guys, we need to get to the dock ward and get this handkerchief to the little orphan child.
I'm going to take one last look back at the parade and kind of look towards the clowns. I know you said they had, like, broad shoulders and, like, is there...
Well, you haven't been paying much attention to the parade.
That's fair, yeah.
Do you want to start paying attention
to the
parade?
I want to pay attention a little bit because I've never seen a human parade. Yeah. Like, I've never seen...
Yeah, a normal people parade.
You want to watch it for a second?
Yeah, I want to watch it for a second.
Sure. You will see a group of gnomes dressed in garish costumes of jesters caper about with manic energy. Their small, nimble forms dart through the crowd, and every so often, one pauses to pull a face or perform a trick that leaves the onlookers laughing. But there's something in the way they move. Something too quick, too sharp.
Bumping into people or looking like that they're like...
Make an insight check.
That's an 18.
These specific gnomes are trying really, really hard to be jesters. They're not jesters.
I know I've seen some strange parades in the past. You know, all sorts of sprites and fairies and weird sorts of things going on. But there's something very off about this parade.
What do you mean?
Those gnomes are not jesters. They're acting too hard to be jesters.
Maybe they're just not good at it, man. What?
Since he brings that up, I think Elle's going to pay attention a little bit to see what's going on.
Same.
Sure. As the parade continues, we're nearing the end of the parade itself. However, it is going to make a second loop. A massive float approaches, towering above the crowd. It's a giant, grand ship, the Sea Maiden herself. Her sails unfurled in a majestic display. Actors dressed as noble sailors and merfolk wave to onlookers. But beneath the decking, something shifts. All in all, the parade is a marvel, a spectacle of delight and wonder. And yet, beneath the surface, there's something else. A feeling that not everything is as it seems.
Does that look off to you?
Something's not right with that ship, but we have pressing matters, but this is concerning to me.
I mean, maybe Dan is right. Maybe it's just that these guys are trash at their job, and they're just trying really hard.
If
Fine, I'll take a look. And I'm going to roll perception here.
What are you looking for?
Just trying to examine the parade itself.
Sure, what are you looking for? Like, you don't need to make a check if I can answer your question without a check. So what are you looking for?
Something odd about the construction of the ship.
Okay, you can tell that the ship itself seems to be constructed and towed behind the actual Sea Maiden's ship and is brought onto land. It's built in with wheels underneath of it, so it is just a giant gargantuan ship parade float.
I mean, the ship checks out. I mean, what are you guys going on about?
There's something in there.
What do you mean, something in there?
Does it look like it's maybe, like, loaded with more stuff, or does it look heavier than it's supposed to?
I mean, it looks fine. It's just stuff is moving beneath deck. You can definitely tell that.
Look, I imagine it's a parade. What are we worried about, fellas?
For once, I think Dan may be right.
You know what? I think it's the fact that we've been in a haunted house for the last couple weeks. I think we're just reading too much into this.
Yeah, let's face it. Besides, it's going to make another turn anyway. We can go back and catch the rest of it if you guys are so entranced by this parade.
I want to get rid of this handkerchief.
As you start to make your way through the crowd, you hear a sudden, faint boom, a slight rumble that echoes across the city. In the distance, almost imperceptible, it sounds like the roll of stone crumbling. Maybe a great building reverberates in the far distance.
What was that?
Make a perception check.
17.
5.
9.
18.
Magic Dan and Talon, you both look across the city to the west, and you will see a towering plume of smoke rising ominously from the base of Mount Waterdeep, where Castle Waterdeep is located. The joyful din of the parade is pierced ever so slightly by screams carried on the wind.
Guys?
Yeah. You hear that too, Tay?
Suddenly, another thunderous explosion erupts from the northwest. The ground trembles underfoot, and a second great column of smoke unfurls into the sky, dark and foreboding. The crowd takes notice and begins to grow uneasy, murmurs of confusion spreading. However, the music and laughter of the parade continues unabated.
So they don't look surprised at all.
The crowd is starting to get a little suspicious, like, what the fuck? And the parade is playing music and laughing and dancing.
Oh, man, the parade's a distraction.
There's a bigger heist here than just us.
Or some sort of attack. We need to start moving.
Then, in quick succession, a barrage of explosion rocks the city. Boom, 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 boom. The deafening roars ripple through the streets. Smoke rises in thick black pillars from many different places around Waterdeep, each one marking a new point of devastation. Panic begins to grip the silent crowd.
We need to go.
Where are we going?
Away from the explosions.
Wherever that is.
The dock ward.
You look around, there is plumes of smoke surrounding the city.
Fuck.
I don't think anywhere is safe, El.
Let's at least take care of this, the shit that we gotta take care of first, and then we can panic after.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine if anything's going on, Davil either knows what's going on, or at least has enough guys to mount a defense.
Mount a defense or get us out of here.
Whichever those are, we're gonna go.
Boom. The ground beneath your feet suddenly shudders violently. A massive explosion detonating so close that it feels as though the very earth is being torn apart. The force of the blast sends a shockwave through the street, knocking people off their feet. The ground rumbles, the cobblestones cracking and collapsing into the sewers below. You are knocked down and momentarily deafened. The world around you reduced to a muffled roar as debris and dust rain down from above, obscuring everything in a choking cloud of smoke and dust.
Fuck!
When your senses finally return, the scene before you is one of utter devastation. Nearly an entire block of the city lies in ruin, reduced to rubble and jagged stone. Great fissures have opened in the ground, exposing the dark, yawning depths of the sewer below. The once celebratory crowd has been transformed into a sea of panicked, fleeing citizens, their faces contorted in terror. But the worst is yet to come. What are you guys doing in this moment?
As I get up, I'm going to look to see if everyone else has gotten up as well and try and help out whoever hasn't.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that we're still together, so I would be trying to locate the other three.
You guys take some time looking through the panicked crowd as screaming people come running by you, and you all manage to find each other in this dusty wasteland.
Stay close, Miocellini. And I'm just, like, kind of clutching him in my coat.
Does it look like there's any, like, severely injured citizens around us?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. But as the dust begins to settle, the true horror of the attack is revealed. The seemingly harmless performers of the parade suddenly turn on the crowd. Goblins leap from their hiding places and cast aside their gnomish disguises, wicked grins on their faces as they begin terrorizing the defenseless citizens. From beneath large tarps on the floats, ogres and trolls emerge with terrifying force, charging directly into the procession of the city watch at the head of the parade. With brutal efficiency, the hulking creatures smash through armor and shields. The ranks of the city watch are quickly thrown into disarray as they struggle to fend off the slaughter. The ogres cleave through lines of guards, sending bodies flying, and the trolls tear apart watchmen with ease, eliminating their defenses and scattering the remaining soldiers within mere moments. The once joyful blade jugglers now turn their deadly skills on the nobility. Blades flashing as they cut down their targets with precision. Acrobats, once performing feats of grace, now leap with lethal intent, murdering influential dignitaries. These performers kill with the quick and calculated fashion of a well-trained assassin.
Can we, in the skyline, if it's not completely smoked out from us, see Blackstaff's tower?
No.
Fuck.
It's covered by smoke, or it doesn't exist?
You can't see it from here.
Do we know in which direction it is?
Yes.
Guys, I think we need to go see the Blackstaff.
That was my thought as well. We have to get someone who can handle this.
We have to get Miocellini to safety.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to make our way towards the Blackstaff.
The city of Waterdeep is under attack, and all around you, the parade has become a massacre. You guys head towards the Blackstaff Tower. As you are making your way through the panicked crowd, and you make your way down the street, a figure in a dark, violet hooded cloak deftly emerges from the alley nearby. She rushes to stand before you, and she holds out her hands. And you will see a hooded woman with tan skin and dark curly hair. She wears a black leather eye mask that conceals her face, but her eyes are keen and focused. She recognizes you when she sees you. I need everyone to make a history check.
17 for Cam.
10.
21.
17.
Magic Dan, Cam, and L, you all immediately recognize this figure, but it's not someone that you know personally. In fact, Magic Dan and Cam, you guys believe that this person only exists in myth. However, L, you know that this person is real, but you've never seen him before. This person is the Black Viper. It is the vigilante of Waterdeep, the Batman to the Gotham of Waterdeep, as it were. She is a legendary figure, and they say that, and L, you would actually know this, not as much as Magic Dan and Cam, but L, you would know that 100 years ago, she would steal from the rich and give to the poor, sort of like a Robin Hood, and she would, like, arrest slave masters and stuff from, like, nobility, because, like, an illegal slave trade, she would take them down. And that was 100 years ago. And then for, like, a long time, she just didn't exist. Like, she became a legend. And now it seems she has returned.
Oh, my God. It's the Black Viper.
God, I've read, like, all the stories about her.
She can't be real, can she? Is that actually her?
Who?
Oh, it's like a hero. But we got other problems.
Yeah, there's a way, but we can explain later.
Okay.
She will say, I found you. I finally found you. Cam and Magic Dan and Talon and L, I've come to take you to somewhere safe. Renair sent me.
Oh, Renair. Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go.
I have so many questions, but we'll talk about it after.
There's no time to explain. Just follow
me. Let's go.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff, murder and stuff, so let's get the hell out of here.
L follows her.
Does she seem genuine?
Make an insight check.
That's an 11.
She seems pretty earnest, but she has this black mask that covers her face.
Cam definitely seems hesitant because every mask and facade we've seen, like, as a shape changer, like, people wear masks to fuck with people, and people are dying, but I think he's going to follow, like, very cautiously.
You begin to follow her through the city, and she will have her back against a wall as all of you file in behind her, and suddenly, the wall on the other side of the alley explodes outward in a shower of dust and rubble. And out of the newly formed gap lumbers a massive ogre. Its face covered in bright, garish makeup in the parody of a clown, and a tattered costume clings to its frame. The creature lets out a bellowing roar that echoes through the street. Following the ogre are more figures, an acrobat that pole vaults forward, landing in a crouch before you. A blade juggler strides out, dagger spinning through the air. A fire breather who lets loose a stream of flames toward the sky, and darting between them, cackling with sinister glee, are three goblins dressed as wicked little jesters. The blade juggler will point at the black viper and he'll say, "There she is, boys! We found you! Kill her! Kill them all!" The black viper will slink down. "Ugh, these guys again. I'll explain everything once we get rid of these buffoons. You take care of the carnies. I'll handle the ogre."
So this is just straight up Batman Returns.
I need everybody to roll initiative.
That's a 19 from Cam. Cam never gets a high initiative.
14 from Tay.
9.
2.
Standing on a pile of rubble before you, there is the ogre, which the Black Viper immediately draws a gleaming rapier and charges towards. And as it lays down a huge hand to swipe at her, she jumps on top of it and begins climbing up the side of this ogre that is dressed as a clown. You guys are faced with an acrobat that has a pole vault, a blade juggler, a fire spitter, and three goblins. One of the goblins is a jester, one of the goblins has stilts, and one of the goblins is a mime. The acrobat goes first. So he is going to pole vault forward towards, let's say, Cam. And he is going to attack you with his pole that has a barb on the end of it from 10 feet away. And he gets a 10 to hit. Okay, he will launch it down like towards you and pole vault up onto it. And as he's in the air, he will drag it out of the ground and try to stab it into you again. He has another attack. A 20 to hit. For 8 bludgeoning damage. And he will use the pole vault to jump 20 feet away from you as he stabs it into your foot and fly and like jumps far away. Next in the order is Cam.
So laying out the battlefield, because bards are all area of effect bullshit.
The acrobat flipped behind you, 20 feet away from you.
Okay. The other ones, are they sort of like in a cluster coming out of the wall?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ignore the one actively hitting me, and I'm going to cast Nether's Mischief on the other guys coming out of the wall. I'll explain the effect, like what it looks like after I hit it, but a dexterity save, or they're blinded until the start of my next turn.
It's a 20-foot cube. So you can get all of them but the blade juggler.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Beautiful.
So that's three goblins, a fire eater. The three goblins fail.
Yes!
I got a 17 for the fire eater. The goblin jester and the goblin on stilts, they like stumble over top of each other, but the goblin mime is just miming out being blind.
He needs to die first.
What an asshole.
No, get the acrobat.
It is now the blade juggler's turn. He is going to throw some blades up into the air, take one and toss it towards L. A 15 to hit.
Just hits.
4 piercing damage.
Okay.
He will follow that up with another dagger attack. 23 to hit.
Weirdly, that one doesn't.
6 damage on that one. He's still juggling daggers, and he just takes one, tosses it at you, keeps juggling, takes another one, tosses it at you, keeps juggling, takes a third one, and tosses it at Magic Dan because he gets 3 dagger attacks. Magic Dan, a 12 to hit.
You got me.
That hits?
Yep.
4 piercing damage.
I have low armor class.
Now it is Talon's turn.
I am going to use Scorching Ray on the 3 goblins, 1 for each goblin. First one is going to be a 21 to hit.
That hits.
Second one, 10 to hit.
That misses.
And last one, a 14 to hit.
That misses as well. First one hits. Roll damage for that.
5.
He's still up. You draw forth some fire from your staff, shoot it towards these blind goblins, but they're literally tripping over each other and moving around so much, it's hard to pinpoint who's who.
Rolling for wild magic.
Okay.
Nope.
Let's get Talon, Magic Dan, and L to make dexterity saving throws.
22.
That's a success.
18.
That's a success.
7.
That's a failure. Magic Dan, you take 8. The other two take 4.
I'm resistant.
Okay, you take 2 then. As the fire spitter takes a drink of some sort of ignition and spits it out all over you guys, as Magic Dan takes the brunt of it, his robes catching a flame, as the fire eater laughs to himself, his teeth sort of flaming.
Ah, you dick. Fuck you. I love this cloak.
L, you're up.
I'm going to jump off one of the walls and booming blade into one of the blind goblins.
Okay.
17.
That hits. You get sneak attack because you had advantage.
And a booming blade. 17 points of damage.
You said you wanted to kill the mime?
Yeah.
Okay. What does this look like?
He just got hit with fire, so he runs up a crate, jumps off the wall, and then just pierces the eye of the mime. He goes, "Now you're really blind, bitch."
Oh, shit. As the mime falls down, he mimes being dead for a second before actually dying.
Committed till the end. I gotta respect it.
Bonus action, disengage, and take a few feet back.
Okay. Next in the order is the goblins. So the goblin jester and the goblin on stilts, they just sort of meander down the street away from the whole combat in general. And that's the end of their turn. Magic Dan, you're up.
Are the goblins still grouped close to each other?
They are 10 feet apart.
I'm going to hit him with Eldritch Flamethrower. They have to make a dex save of 13.
What is the shape of it, does it say?
It's cone-shaped. Basically, I throw Gundog out. Gundog, go! And it drops down in front of me and blows out the flamethrower at him.
Yep, you can hit him. You throw Gundog out. It shoots this burst of fire. It's a dexterity saving throw for the blind goblins. Ooh, a 9 and a 21.
Ooh. So they'll take half damage on a success. 7 altogether.
You kill the jester.
Not so funny now, laughing man.
So you kill this goblin jester who dies in a burst of maniacal laughter. And then you burn up a little bit of the goblin on stilts for where his pants burn up. So now he's pantsless, but you can see the stilts.
That's kind of funny.
He's like hanging brain right now. Banana tree up there.
You guys can see in the background, the Black Viper is going fucking hard on this ogre, like stabbing it in the head and then flipping around like Legolas onto the other side and stabbing it up through its face, and the ogre's just trying to grab her and get her off.
Oh, that's our mistake. We should have done that.
Oh, that's way cooler.
I cannot do that.
I'll get a cramp for sure.
It is now the acrobat's turn as it runs forward and tries to stab Gundog. Oh, I got 2 11s.
Miss.
So it tries to stab into Gundog. How does Gundog evade this long pole? It's like a pole vault pole with a spike on the end of it.
It just kind of hops in the air above it, and then it hops over it again, and then grabs onto the little thing, and then just drops down again.
Cool. It is the acrobat that's trying to stab this little metal creature is furious. It's like, "Stay still, you fucking weird creature."
See, that's a great design.
Next in the order is Cam.
Is there a way I can move it where it's not hitting Gundog or L?
No. If you hit Gundog, you can literally get the Stilt Goblin and the Fire Eater.
Yeah, get him.
Dope. So I rolled a 3. I am going to unsettling words the Fire Eater.
Okay.
And say, "Careful before you choke." He gets -1 on his save. Jesus Christ.
Okay, and what kind of save is it?
Wisdom.
He gets an 11, which -1 would be 10. So I imagine that's a fail.
Yeah.
And then the goblin needs to make a wisdom saving throw as well?
Yeah.
And it gets 18. Gundog needs to make that save as well.
Ooh, it's a 1, baby.
All right, so with that joke, you're going to see the Flame Eater and Gundog just start maniacally laughing and running in different directions. They're incapacitated and use all their movement to run in a random direction. So I'm going to whip out the hand crossbow and take a shot at the acrobat.
Okay, make an attack roll.
That's a 14.
That hits.
Oh, for 7.
He does not look like he is super, super bothered by it. I think it does strike him, but he tried to block it with this giant pole vaulting pole that he has.
Yeah, that's my turn.
So the blade juggler think he's going to go for L. L, you are behind him. He will wheel around and say, "Time to die, you little bugger." And he's going to throw three daggers at you.
Oh, that's no good.
Here's a 20. Does that hit?
Yep.
For four.
Okay.
A 24.
Yep.
Four, five.
Okay.
And a 17 for five.
I'm down.
Yep. So he starts walking towards you, and we get this sort of shot where we see L stab into one of these goblins and like, "Fuck you, goblin," and step on it and pull his rapier back out. And as he turns around, there's like smoke and dust settling all around you. And you could just see this in slow motion blade juggler tossing daggers in a circle. And he will just take one from the circle, toss it at L. It lands in his chest, takes a second one, lands in his chest, takes a third one, lands in his chest again as he slumps over. And the blade juggler just keeps walking towards L. Pretty gangster.
I see L go down. How close is the blade throwing guy and L?
They're 10 feet apart.
I want to center a 10-foot radius sphere on L. I'm going to cast Wither and Bloom.
What?
Con save 14 for both of them. And then you get a hit dice.
So the blade juggler needs to make a what kind of save?
Constitution 14.
18. 16.
Okay, they'll both take half. Total of 2 necrotic damage. L is engrossed in a black sphere of death, as well as the blade juggler and the flamethrower.
It is now the fire eater's turn. He's incapacitated. He can't take actions. He runs really fast into a brick wall. Somebody roll a d6 for me.
5.
He really hurt himself on this wall.
If you would have rolled a 6 and he just dies from running into the wall, that would have been amazing.
Well, he's got a lot of hit points left. So he runs and bashes into this wall, but he is out of your area of effect. That ends his turn. L, you're up. Make a death saving throw.
I don't have to.
Okay, so a hit die doesn't just fucking bring you back up, does it?
You heal that much off the hit die.
What? It's not like temporary hit points?
Wither and Bloom is one of the greatest.
It's an unused hit die.
I love that spell. Roll one of its unspent hit dice and regain a number of hit points equal to that plus your spellcasting ability modifier.
So, plus 4.
L is up, dog.
L, you're up as life comes back to you.
Ow. And then he's going to look at the fire-breathing one.
You have a blade juggler staring you down.
You're going to see the black spectral form of L's mom. She's going to look down at L, look back at the juggler. She's going to go,
"I'm the only one that hits this little fucker."
And I need a wisdom save.
The pure trauma from this one spell.
Oh, man, I don't feel good about this attack.
That is a fail.
As your mother's screaming form lashes out towards him with long painted fingernails, he immediately takes this damage and is taken aback and bloody as he drops a couple of daggers from his juggle. The blade juggler stares you down, grabbing a couple more daggers in mid-juggle. The stilt goblin is the only one that's left, and he succeeded on your save, right?
Yes, yeah, he did.
Okay, so he's still good. So in that case, he is going to go towards Talon. He will lean down with a scimitar and try to slash out at you, Talon. He gets a natural 1. He misses, loses balance, and falls onto the ground off of his stilts.
He cuts his own dick off.
Okay, that is the goblin's turn. Next in the order is Magic Dan.
The one that's on the ground, I'm going to hit him with a good old-fashioned firebolt. 18.
That hits.
10. Basically, I put my hands together, like palms out, kind of Kamehameha style, and form a firebolt. And I go, "Time to dance in the flames, fucker." And I just shoot this jet of fire onto him as he just kind of melts into a skeleton.
He melts into a skeleton. It starts at the tip of his dick and begins just coiling up like a TNT, like the fuse on TNT. And he incinerates.
Dan, you lit his fuse.
He had it coming.
It is now the acrobat's turn. He was going after Gundog. The Gundog moved away from him. So he's going to take his pole out and he's going to go for Magic Dan. Since Magic Dan's on this side of the battlefield. He takes this, the acrobat takes this long pole and tries to stab it into you, Magic Dan. A 9 to hit.
Ooh, a fail.
He will wheel it around and try to just bop you on the top of the head with it. Another 9 to hit.
Ooh, that's a fail again.
Yep, so he misses both times if you dodge out of the way. Both times the rod slamming onto the ground and vibrating into his hands.
Ah, too fast for you.
It is now Cam's turn.
I'm going to have to hit somebody if I move my shit, I'm guessing.
Yeah, at this point, the battlefield's pretty tied up.
If I can, I'm going to hit L and whoever he's fighting right now.
Yeah, he's fighting the blade juggler.
Okay, let's do that. It's going to be the two again.
Which is blindness, right?
Yep.
Okay, dex saves.
I'm also going to bonus action...
Cutting words or whatever?
Cutting words, yeah, for two.
The blade juggler, oh, he gets a 20 minus two, which is 18.
Fuck me.
So they both save.
I'm going to shoot the blade juggler with the crossbow. A 10 to hit.
It flies right past him. Okay, it's now the blade juggler's turn as flowers and stuff bloom underneath of him and try to spray him with water. He is unfazed as he will take more his daggers and attack... Just throw them at L again. Three dagger attacks. Here they come. 18?
Yep.
Six?
Damn.
All right, he'll use the other two and throw them towards Cam. 13?
That'll just hit, yeah.
Six piercing? And then he'll throw the second one at you, or the third one at you as well. 15 to hit?
I'm going to silvery barbs that one.
Okay.
And give advantage to Tay.
Eight to hit.
That'll miss.
Okay. He throws a dagger at L. L immediately drops back down. And then he will take two more daggers and in one hand throw them. Like, you know how the magician does the trick where he takes the two daggers in his hand and throws them? He does that, but he throws them at Cam. And luckily, Cam uses a bit of wispy magic to make one of them miss. That is the blade juggler's turn. He is still standing over the body of L. Next in the order is Talon.
I am going to fire a magic missile at the blade juggler.
Yeah, 3d4 plus 3. Because they automatically hit.
Hell yeah, dude. Get him.
So 2, 4, 7.
He's still up.
Three little tiny arrows just fly out from my staff at him.
Pierce him a couple times. He drops a couple of daggers as he has to stumble to catch them all. He's very angry and very, very hurt. That is your turn?
Yes.
Okay, you have to roll for wild magic.
Nat 20.
So you're good?
Yes.
Okay. Fire Eater's turn? You already had your turn again, right, Cam?
Yeah, so he's good to go now.
He's going
to
run up to them, be very close, within 5 feet of Magic Dan, and he's going to blow out fire at the two of you. So Magic Dan and Talon need to make a dexterity saving throw.
18.
10.
Talon, you succeed. Magic Dan, you fail. 9 damage to Magic Dan. 4 damage to Talon. He blows out his fire, and now he's standing right next to you, Magic Dan, as he burns you with his fiery breath. L, you're up. Make a death saving throw.
That's a fail. 7.
First failed death saving throw. It is now Magic Dan's turn.
My Eldritch Cannon is functioning properly now.
Your gun dog is working fine.
Trademark.
The blade juggler's been dropping daggers, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to catapult one of them at the fire thrower. You have to make a dex saving throw of 13.
And you're throwing it at whom?
The fire breather.
He gets a 10.
Boom, eat it, bitch.
Sorry.
I mean, he might. He's a fire eater.
Takes 13 damage.
Damn. So you describe what this looks like when it happens, because you're further away from the blade juggler when you cast the spell.
I point at the dagger on the ground, and it just flies up. Almost towards me, goes right past me and hits him, like, right in the chest.
Oh, yeah, it hits him right in the chest. He's severely wounded. He will take, like, the torch that's in his hand and with the other hand, pull out the dagger and point it towards you with an angry grin.
Okay, I'm going to jump back away from him, and I'm going to let Gundog make an attack. How far away is Gundog?
Gundog is within range for you to return, bring him back.
Gundog, get them both! And Gundog positions itself, and he has to make a... Both of them have to make a dexterity saving throw.
The fire eater gets a 15.
He beats it.
And the blade juggler gets a... natural 20.
All right, they take half damage of 2d8. Half of 11, so that'd be 5 for them.
You kill both of them. What does this look like?
Gundog.
Gundog just kind of crunches down on the ground with its little arms, and a big, like, circle of, like, fire energy kind of builds up in front of the barrel, and it just unleashes this gigantic cone of flame that just reduces them to like charred skeletons.
Yeah, they are completely wounded and devastated by this attack as they crumble down onto the ground.
Best product I ever made!
Just excited how well it worked in combat.
The only opponent left is the acrobat.
Oh, fuck that guy.
He is going to see the circumstance that surrounds him as the ogre falls dead right next to him, and the rest of his party has also fallen dead. He will look around, notice what's happening, take his pole vault, stick it in the ground, and jump on top of a building and begin to run away.
Run away, you little bitch! Let's get the fuck out of here before he gets friends.
I walk over and stabilize El.
I'm actually just going to shout at El, get off your ass, and hit him with a healing word.
Sorry, Mom. What?
Sorry I let you go down, El.
It's fine, then.
Hey, look who's back among the land of the living. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that juggler fucked me up. Why did I have to fight the good one?
Well, the bad ones were already dead pretty quick. I mean, you eviscerated that mime.
Hey, in fact, here's this. And I just pick up the charred skull of the blade thrower. And it's like, here, have it as a souvenir.
Thank you.
It makes a great bowl.
Oh, so he can have a skull, but me having teeth is weird?
Well, I mean, this is more like we killed a guy for it, not like you bought a bunch of teeth from a stranger.
Is it weird when you eat meat at a restaurant and you didn't kill it yourself? Whatever. I'm just,
This is all semantics. We gotta get the hell out of here.
Let's go before something else comes towards us.
The Black Viper approaches you all. And she's about to say something when you see her eyes widen as she looks up towards the sky behind you.
Oh, fuck.
Turn around and see what she's looking at.
From one of the massive fissures that split the earth near the market, a shadow begins to rise. At first, it's just a dark, looming shape, barely visible through the smoke and dust. But then it emerges into full view. A monstrous, floating sphere of flesh. This creature hovers ominously high above the rubble, its bloated body covered in mottled leathery skin. From its sides extend 10 writhing eye stalks, each one swiveling independently. A single, massive central eye dominates its grotesque face, glistening with malevolence. While below it, a wide maw filled with razor-sharp teeth curves into a chilling grin. It's a beholder.
Think it's mad we killed that baby?
As the creature rises, two tall, gaunt figures follow it out of the fissure, gliding silently to flank its sides. The elongated heads and writhing tentacle mouths mark them as mind flayers. They hover ominously beside the monstrous sphere. Then, with a voice that booms unnaturally across the entire city, amplified by unseen magic, the beholder speaks.
People of Waterdeep, the end of an era is upon you. A new age dawns. Your so-called protectors lie in ruin, and none can stand against my power. I am Xanathar, rightful lord and conqueror of Waterdeep. This city belongs to me. It's all mine, and you shall bow before me.
The words echo through the streets. One of the Xanathar's eye stalks seems to focus on all of you. And for a moment, it feels as though the very air around you is charged with its malevolent intent.
Do you think we should bow?
We should have been way more about that mind flayer I kept warning everybody about.
The Black Viper pushes into all of you. Come on, we have to go, now!
Yeah, that's a better idea, let's go.
Okay, you guys follow the Black Viper deeper into the city, and that's where we're in the session for tonight.
Yo! Oh, so rad! So fucking rad. Oh, that was so good.
We are all very grateful to everyone out there listening. If you enjoy our podcast, consider supporting us by becoming a patron of our Patreon. All the support we get goes right back into making this podcast the best it can be. We appreciate all the love and support. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this has been Quest. The camera sweeps across the ravaged landscape of Waterdeep. Once a bustling metropolis, now a shadow of its former glory. Gradually, the view shifts and descends towards the yawning portal tavern. The camera plunges down the giant gaping well in the center of the tavern, spiraling down into darkness. As it descends deeper into the abyss, the sounds of the city fade into a profound silence as it flies through Undermountain. The walls grow more alien and foreboding, eventually opening up into an immense subterranean chamber. Here, the air vibrates with a palpable power and thrumming. At the heart of this chamber stands a towering crystal of deep, dark purple. This enormous psionic crystal pulses with a sinister energy, its surface swirling with an inner light that seems almost alive. The Thrall Spire.